Batavia Middle School's presumptuous and ill-informed leadership, another invasion of children's privacy and another attack on parents who object to their children's privacy being invaded, has taken place, this time at Rotolo Middle School in Batavia, Illinois, without any notification to parents whose children's privacy in restrooms and locker rooms would be invaded, which is potentially every girl. Rotolo administrators and school board members gave their unholy blessing to a boy who pretends to be a girl to use girls' restrooms and the locker room with no restrictions. When the parent of a girl complained about the administration's decision to sexually integrate girls' private facilities, the principal, Brian Zwemke, suggested her daughter use a restroom in the nurse's office or use a restroom near the front door that the boy can but is unlikely to use due to its location, or to holler in restrooms first to make sure they are being used by only girls, or to have a school monitor stand outside while she's in the restroom. Zwemke also recommended that girls who don't want to change clothes in front of or near the boy in the girls' locker room should change in a small utility closet. Really? Does Zwemke really think these options are just, reasonable, and compassionate? Progressives argue that trans-identifying children who aren't comfortable using facilities with persons of their same sex should not be expected to use separate facilities. So now administrators expect students who aren't comfortable sharing facilities with opposite-sex persons to use separate facilities. Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. At a recent school board meeting, which you can view if you go to this article online, in which three parents respectfully expressed their concern about the introduction of co-ed restrooms and locker rooms, unhinged board member John Dryden melodramatically walked out for several minutes and then later posted this on his Facebook page, and I quote, "Sometimes school board meetings are like Mr. Toad's wild ride. You can watch me try really hard not to launch myself over the table and strangle an anti-transgender lynch mob. The board comments at the end are worth listening to. Cheers, Batavia. Let's move ahead, not backwards." End quote. A report in the Daily Herald reveals more of Dryden's bigotry, and I quote him, "I watched a lot of people throw a middle school kid under the bus." End quote. In Dryden's skewed view, opposing co-ed restrooms and locker rooms constitutes throwing children under a bus. Nice rhetorical attempt to silence dissent. Following Dryden's break for the vapors, two additional speakers expressed concern over the sexual integration of private spaces. Two actual girl students. It appears big, burly school board member John Dryden called three moms and two middle school girls a lynch mob that he wants to strangle. Clearly, Dryden neither respects nor tolerates the diversity within his own community, as he embraces an intellectually incoherent ideology and morally repellent policy. Near the end of the meeting, after Dryden mustered the wherewithal to resist his urge to strangle three moms and two little girls, he smugly, incorrectly, and perhaps dishonestly lectured the purported lynch mob on Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972, saying this, and I quote him, "Federal law, Title IX, allows, the right to be treated according to one's gender identity, that the name and pronouns used for that individual will match the gender identity. They cannot be forced to use separate facilities. The right to use restrooms and locker rooms that match their gender identity is protected under Title IX." End quote. Here's what Dryden failed to say. Title IX says precisely nothing about gender identity or pronouns. Title IX does, however, say something about restrooms and locker rooms. Here's what Title IX says, and I quote, "A recipient of federal funds may provide separate toilet, locker room, and shower facilities on the basis of sex, but such facilities provided for students of one sex shall be comparable to such facilities provided for students of the other sex." End quote. Neither Dryden's wishes, nor Obama's edicts, nor the lawsuits of trans activists have transformed Title IX into a command to sexually integrate private spaces in government schools or to mandate untruthful speech, that is, incorrect pronoun usage. The board must correct this misstatement, and Dryden owes the moms and girls a public apology. But Dryden wasn't done yet. He next scolded parents who use pronouns correctly, and I quote him, "I hope in the future, when we're discussing publicly this issue, that we can respect the person's right to be addressed by their preferred pronoun," end quote. No person has a right to compel others to participate in a fiction, speak a falsehood, or compel others to adopt their new politically constructed grammar rule. For those who believe that the trans ideology is both false and destructive, which it is, referring to boys who think they are or wish they were girls is a destructive lie. Believing that referring to boys as girls is respectful or good depends on assent to prior leftist assumptions, which no one is obliged to do. Neither Dryden the scold, nor the trans community, nor this boy and his family have a moral right to dictate how people think or speak about this science-denying ideology. Then board member Tina Bleakley made this astonishing and ironic statement, and I quote, "To come publicly to speak about a child disappoints me," end quote. The administration, apparently in cahoots with the school board, allow a boy to invade the private spaces of girls and then has the audacity to suggest that this unnamed boy's privacy has been violated by expressing opposition to the policy. Surely Bleakley jests. It is the adult leaders of Rotolo Middle School who have committed a disappointing act, which is expecting girls to feel comfortable sharing private spaces with a peer of the opposite sex. Here are some questions that the administration and board should be asked and should answer. What is gender identity? If the administration defines it as subjective internal feelings about one's sex or maleness or femaleness, on what basis do trans-identified children determine their gender identity? Why should private spaces correspond to subjective internal feelings about one's maleness or femaleness, as opposed to objective immutable biological sex? Why is it legitimate for girls to oppose sharing restrooms and locker rooms with objectively male peers who accept their sex, but not legitimate for girls to oppose sharing restrooms and locker rooms with objectively male peers who reject their sex? Why should a boy's subjective feelings about his objective sex affect girls' feelings or beliefs about undressing or going to the bathroom in front of or near him? Does objective immutable biological sex have any intrinsic meaning relative to modesty and privacy? If not, why do we have any sex-segregated restrooms, locker rooms, anywhere? Why not make all of them co-ed for everyone? If this objectively male student should be permitted to use facilities with only girls, why shouldn't objectively female students be permitted to use facilities with only girls? Will the administration allow those who identify as gender fluid choose daily which restrooms and locker rooms they use? Since, according to leftists, anatomy is irrelevant to gender identity and privacy, should boys who identify as girls be allowed to shower with objectively female peers? If not, why not? Should other subjective internal feelings be reflected in policy and practice? For example, should those who identify as amputees, that is, those who have body integrity identity disorder, be allowed to use wheelchairs and handicapped parking spots at school? Should they be allowed to leave class early to have more time to get from one class to another? Are the natural feelings of modesty and the desire for privacy when engaged in personal activities, which are the reasons for sex-segregated restrooms, locker rooms, not to mention dressing rooms, shelters, semi-private hospital rooms, dorm rooms, nursing home room assignments, are those feelings pathological? Those who identify as trans claim their biological sex, as revealed in anatomy, is unrelated and irrelevant to their gender identity, which is, as we said before, a subjective internal feeling, and that anatomy doesn't matter when it comes to restrooms, changing areas, and showers. They further claim they want to use restrooms with only those whose gender identity they share. So why do boys who identify as girls demand to use girls' restrooms and locker rooms? How do they know the males using the boys' restrooms do not identify as girls? And how can they be sure that the females using the girls' restrooms do identify as girls? Is it possible that boys who identify as girls are basing their restroom choices on biological sex as revealed in anatomy? If so, why are they permitted to do so, but actual girls are not? School board members and administrators are never asked these questions, nor are they confronted with the fact that de facto co-ed restroom mandates teach all children that unless they are willing to relinquish their privacy and their beliefs about the profound meaning of biological sex, unless they accept unproven leftist assumptions about biological sex, gender, and gender identity, and unless they silence the expression of their beliefs, they will be deemed ignorant, hateful, intolerant bigots, hell-bent on lynching those who identify as the sex they are not and never can be.